On May 15th, 1213, King John of England surrendered his kingdom as a vassal state to Pope Innocent III as overlord. The overt animosity between the two men had been intense. In 1206, John had refused to accept Pope Innocent III's election of Stephen Langton as the new Archbishop of Canterbury. In 1208, Pope Innocent III placed England and Wales under an interdict. In 1209, the Pope excommunicated King John. Undoubtedly, the Pope's interdict, depriving most English people of Christian services, the sacraments except baptism, confession, and the viaticum, that's last communion, and Christian burial, exerted enormous pressure upon King John to capitulate to the demands of Pope Innocent III. Did not the interdict place in jeopardy the very salvation of most English people? On July 2, 1214, after King John acceded to the papal demands, Pope Innocent III removed the interdict. England and Wales were no longer under the ban of the church. Remarkably enough, less than a century later, another heated contest erupted, pitting the authority of a pope against that of a king. But this contest produced very different results. As we saw in Lesson 1, King Philip IV of France defied Pope Boniface VIII's effort to control the French clergy. In the bull Unum Sanctum, 1302, Boniface VIII had asserted his papal authority was superior to that of the temporal authority of kings. Rebuffing this claim, Philip IV sent an agent named Nogaret to Anagni, Italy, where the pope was residing at his summer palace. Nogaret's men proceeded to capture Boniface VIII. Then Nogaret's agents totally disrespected the pope by beating him severely. He died soon after. Historians have pondered long and hard what possible factors provoked such different reactions to papal demands. In 1213, King John of England yielded to Pope Innocent III's injunctions. By contrast, in 1302, King Philip IV of France rejected Pope Boniface VIII's demands and was a party to the physical and mental abuse of the pontiff. Were early forms of nationalism and regionalism gaining strength in the 13th century? Did these forces encourage certain Europeans to appreciate their local cultures, languages, and leaders more than universal leaders such as popes and emperors? Or what reasons would prompt King Philip IV, for example, allegedly to risk losing his own salvation by humiliating a pope and by supporting the papacy's move from Rome to Avignon? Were Philip IV's own personality and beliefs solely responsible for the hostile attitude towards the papacy? Or were there additional cultural, economic, political, and religious forces prompting at least some Europeans to resist or question the authority of the pope or emperor? Did the rise of moneyed economies, the burgeoning growth of Italian city-states like Venice and Genoa, the influence of fabulously wealthy Italian families, new knowledge of the world gained by the exploration of foreign lands, increased appreciation for daring intellectual speculations, and other factors foster challenges to the authority of the papacy and empire in the 13th and 14th centuries and beyond? Lesson 2 of our church history is entitled The Renaissance and the Christian Faith. This lesson proposes that key intellectuals did, in fact, challenge established authorities, traditions, and customs of their day. Paradoxically enough, these same innovators sometimes looked for inspiration for their new thinking by recovering the thought and expertise of the Greeks and Romans of antiquity. A few